Blog Talk Radio.
Good night, good evening to my radio audience. Good evening, good evening. I am here again, people. I am here again, parents. I am here again, mamas and daddies. This is Talk for Kids Radio Channel. We are here again to help our young people all over the world today. I am a voice for the young people in this earth today. Talks for Kids Radio Channel, we are live tonight. Feel free to call in to voice your opinion. The guest call-in number is 515-605-9790. Let me repeat that for you parents. 515-605-9790. The title of this broadcast tonight, Daddy, Why You Keep Lying to Me? Where are you, Daddy? Daddy, why you keep lying to me? Where are you, Daddy? You know how many young little boys and little girls are saying that to their mama every day when they haven't seen their daddy in 1 year. They haven't seen their daddy in 2 years. They haven't seen their daddy in 10 years. Or they never seen their daddy before in their life. So they're asking their mama, where's my daddy? And then when they do talk to their daddy, the ones that do know their father, they say, Daddy, when are you coming to me? And he might say, I'm going to come next week, and I'm going to come 2 weeks from now. I'm going to come in a month. And he never, ever show up. He never, ever show up to daddy. Never, ever show up for a little girl and a little boy. And this is driving our children mad. This is driving our children nuts. This is driving our children crazy because they need their father. They need their father. The father is the most important role and figure in a child's life. I know you mamas, y'all, you know, nurture the children, wash the clothes, and cook the food, and, you know, teach them how to tie their shoes or put on their pants. But the daddy teaches the kids something that the mama cannot teach. So it's very important that the child have the father in the house. But unfortunately, we have 90% of our children all over the earth that don't have the mama and the daddy living in a home. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. Guest call in number 515-605-9790. I am your host, Elisha Ba. So I want to discuss this tonight. Because it needs to be discussed. It needs to be addressed. We got so many fathers. We got so many daddies. Young and old men that make so many excuses every time they talk to their children on the phone. They make so many excuses why they're not there or why they can't be there or why they can't come right now. Maybe I'll come in a month or two or three or a year. They make excuses why they can't go see their own child. And it's terrible. It's terrible. It's destroying a generation, and it have destroyed generations of our youth and our young little boys and girls. Just looking at myself growing up with a daddy not living in the household with me and my mother. He tried. My daddy tried. He really did try. I mean, I can remember, you know, when I was a little girl, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, I can remember my daddy living there with us. But it was always fighting. It was always confusion. It was always my mama, you know, cussing him out and saying bad things to him and, you know, all kind of things she was saying to the daddy. My father so uncomfortable, he didn't want to be there no more. He didn't want to be there no more. And we have a lot of that going on today. We have a lot of that going on today with the mamas. Mamas need to sit down. You need to sit down because I said to you over and over again, you did not have the baby by yourself. That is not your baby. You're not his mama and you're not his dad. You're just his mom or her mom. You didn't have the child by yourself. So you need to stop programming your children and put all that madness in their mind that you had the child by your, you know, I'm your mom and your dad. Ain't no such thing as that. So you are destroying your own children. You are destroying your own child, telling all of that madness to them. Okay, oh, your daddy nothing. He's no good. He this, he that, he this. Oh, that's a no good nigga. You said, no, well, you know, so most of them are no good. Most of them are no good. Like my father, he tried to live with us. He tried to live with my mom, you know, and take care of me and my little sister. But, you know, unfortunately, it was such an uncomfortable environment for him where he didn't want to be there. Because, you know, my daddy was the kind of man, he don't like hitting on women. He don't like fighting women. He don't like putting his hands on women. You know, what he would do, he would just leave and walk away. That's the kind of man he was, as I can remember, as a child. He didn't believe in knocking a woman out. He didn't believe in stomping a woman on the ground and cutting her up and all of that. Like most of you black brothers, I'm speaking for the black men and men today and the women, because I'm a black woman myself. I'm going to just keep it at home tonight on this radio channel. I'm going to keep it at home in the black ghetto, in the black neighborhood. Okay? Yeah, so, yeah, my daddy didn't, he wasn't the kind of man that liked to beat a woman down to the ground. Okay? He would walk away. You know, but my mom, she's the kind of mother, you know, she liked to start things with my father. He liked to make him feel uncomfortable. You know, he get off work, you know what I'm saying? He want to rest or whatever, but she's making him feel uncomfortable. You know, she want to argue, she want to fight, she want to make him feel bad. So my daddy couldn't, he, you know, he couldn't take it, so he moved out the house. Like so many black men have moved out the house from you sisters and your mamas. Why? They can't deal with it. They can't deal with it. You know, but there's still not no excuse for a man to stay away from his child. Ain't no excuse for that. Bro, you wrong. You wrong, daddy. Ain't no excuse for you. No kind of excuse in this world to make you stay away from your child. The only excuse you have is that you don't give a damn about them and you don't love them and you don't care nothing about them. You don't care what's going on in their life. That's the excuse that you have. You just ain't no good ass father. You no good brother. You no good man. You're a garbage man that don't give a damn about your child. Because there's nothing in this world can keep you away from your child except what I just said. You just don't care nothing about your children. So, you know, my daddy, he fall in that category too. You know, he let my mom rule him. And, you know, made him feel so bad that, you know, where he only came over when he was drunk. When he was high or drunk or something like that, he tried to come over and grab me and snatch me up out the bed and take me to grandma's house and all of that. Only when he was high and drinking could he deal with my mom. But when he was sober, he couldn't deal with it. I don't know what my mom had. Maybe she had some kind of fear or something over my father, but he just couldn't deal with it unless he was drinking. And the same with you black brothers, you black men today. You know, you got so many men that haven't called their children in a year, 10 years. I mean, you know your child phone number. You know the phone number. You know where they live. You know all of that. But you still don't take the initiative, brother. You still don't take the initiative to reach out to your little child, your little girl, and your little boy. What is the reason for that? Why are you treating your child like that? What did your child do to you that you feel that you have to treat them the way that you treated them? They haven't did absolutely nothing to you. They did not ask to be in this world. They did not ask to be in this world. It was you and the mom's decision to bring them into the world. So why do you want to ignore your child? Why do you want to make your child feel bad? Why do you want to just, you know, feel like, you know, make your child feel like she or he is not important to you? You're going to pay for that, bro. You are going to pay for that. Believe me, because the God of the Bible put you in this earth for you to be a man, for you to take care of your responsibility as a man, and for you to take care of your child. Just tell that woman to get the hell out your face. You don't want to hear nothing she got to say. I'm coming for my child. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you're talking about. I'm here for my baby right now. Whatever you're going through, whatever menopause that you might be going through, woman, or pressure, or whatever you're going through, get out of my way because I need to see my child. I haven't saw my child in 5 years. I haven't saw my child in 1 year. I haven't talked to her on the phone because every time I try to call, I'm talking about the daddies that care about their children. Okay, you got most that don't care about their children, and then you got some that do care, maybe 2 or 3% that do care, and they try to reach out to the child, but the mom is always in the way. She always in the way. She always blocking the man. He always blocking the man so he can't talk to the child or he can't come and see the child. You know, she keeps telling the child, I'm your mom and your dad. So tonight we're going to go into this broadcast. Because I am here to help young people all over the earth. Somebody has to speak up for them. Somebody has to talk for our young little girls and our young little boys. They not happy because the daddy, mom, daddy, they say. When they talk to the daddy on the phone, I can remember asking my daddy the same question. Daddy, why you keep lying to me? When are you coming, daddy? And he'll make up some and say, you know, well, baby, I've just been working. And I just been busy, and I just ain't got time for you. And you ain't saw, bro, you ain't saw your child in like 3 years. And you think your little girl or your little boy want to hear that, what you said? That's a selfish, selfish, selfish answer that you are giving your child. So I have a Bible verse that I want to read also. Yes, call in number 515-605-9790. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. We are live tonight on the air. I know so many men, so many brothers. You got men that's killing their kids. You got men that's raping their kids and molesting their kids, whether girl or boy. You got men that's rejecting their children, coming up with all kinds of excuses why they can't call them, why they can't contact them, why they can't get in touch with them. What is your excuse, man? You don't have one. Except that you are a very selfish, arrogant, prideful, stuck up on yourself as nigga. That's what you are. I'm not a Christian. I'm here to come to you live tonight and talk the raw to you, bro. Somebody needs to talk some sense to you because your child is laying there in the bed and laying there, she ain't seen you or he ain't seen you in 5 years. You ain't picked up the phone and called them, and you know their phone number. You wrong, man. And I got to tell you that I'm very. I just don't want to deal with the mama, man. She's on my nerves, bro. I don't want to go over there and deal with her, man. Every time I go over there, she, you know, she's saying things to me and, you know, saying all kind of stuff about me. And I just don't want to deal with that, bro. What else it takes, bro, for you to get to your child, that's what you need to do. Whatever that is, whatever it takes, your child is more important than you. Maybe your mama did that to you or your dad, maybe your daddy. Let me go back to the dad. I ain't even talking about mamas tonight. I'm talking about dad. Maybe your daddy did something to you like that when you was growing up, when you never saw your father. You never saw your father. He only come around to buy you some Jordans or a new pair of gym shoes or a new Xbox on Christmas. That's the only time you see him. You don't see him no other time but that time. You are the most pitiful man and father on the face of the earth. Yeah, I think about my son's father growing up, my oldest son. Yeah. He wasn't there for his own child. And he came up with excuses to me why he couldn't be there. Whatever, you know, his excuse was, you know, was legitimate. My son grow up fatherless. His stepdad raised him because his own dad was never there, was never around, didn't want to be around, didn't want to do nothing with his child. Absolutely nothing. And it's still like that today, to this day. My son is grown and the daddy is grown, but he still don't do absolutely nothing with his son. Why? Because his daddy treated him the same way. His daddy left him and his mama with about 7 or 8 kids, his brothers and sisters. I'm talking about my son's father now. His dad left his mama for another woman with about 7 kids, him and his brothers and sisters. So what I'm trying to bring out tonight to you brothers, that this is a revolving door. This is a revolving door. So because his dad treated him like nothing and didn't come and feel about him and didn't care about him and left him and his brothers and sisters to a whole nother family, because he left that mom, he left his mama, talking about my son's grandmama on his daddy's side. He left her. And he went to another woman and married her and had a whole nother family. This is a no good father. How is you going to leave a woman with 7 and 8 kids and turn around and go marry another woman and have 5 and you know, and have, I don't know. And have maybe 2 or 3 kids by her. This is how they do it in the hood, people. This is how they do it in the neighborhood. You got so many mama babies, baby mama drama, baby kids running around and ain't seen their daddy since they was born. This needs to stop. This needs to stop. Y'all black people are the most pitiful people. And y'all my own race. When it comes to parenting, let me say it again. Y'all are the most pitiful people in the world to me when it comes to parenting. I'm going to put myself in there. I'm going to put myself right there on the fence with you. Y'all pitiful. You're pitiful. The things that black people do, men and women, when it comes to their children, white people will never do. White people will never do. Let a white person get a divorce and they got little Johnny and little Sue and little Ally and all of them. Let them get a divorce. that man gonna make it his business to go to court, and get his rights as a father so he can see his children. He's gonna make it his business. He ain't gonna stay away from his child two, three years and don't call them and all of that. Wait on the child to call them. He ain't gonna do that. Not no white man. Not no white man. He gonna go to the judge and tell the judge, oh yeah, judge, I need to see my child. I'm not with his mama no more. Whatever I gotta do, I gotta see my child too. I'm not just gonna let the mama take over my children and have the children and control it. But that's what you black men do. You let the mamas control the children and everything. Y'all are weak, weak, weak brothers and men. I think about my son. I just told you his father wasn't no good. He wasn't there. He's a nice person. But he just didn't give a damn about his child when he was growing up. My son treated his children the same exact way as his daddy treated him. Same exact way. You know, he put it on it that, oh, well, I said, when you call your children, you try to get in touch with the kids, or what's going on with, you know, your children? Well, you know, mom, I try to call. But you know the mama, they don't, you know, they in the way. They won't, you know, they won't let her, you know, my child answer the phone. Bro, go over there and knock on the door. Go over there and knock on the door and face that mama. Because she thinks she the man and the woman anyway. She thinks she the mom and the dad. So she feel like she really don't need you no way, bro. She's trying to take your role in her role as a mom. I'm your mom and your dad. Daddy, why you keep lying to me? You told me you was going to come and see me on the weekend. I was looking for you, Daddy. I was looking out the window. I was turning the curtains open, wondering when you're going to come up to the door. Because I miss you, Daddy. I need to see you, Daddy. I love you. Please, Daddy. Please come and see me. I need you, Daddy. I need to sit on your lap, Daddy. I need you to hug me, Daddy. I need you to tell me you love me, Daddy. The Daddy never comes. And he keep lying to the little girl. And he keep lying to the little boy. Every time we get on the phone with him, he keep lying, saying he's coming, and he never do. He make all kind of excuses, too. All kind of excuses why he can't come. All kind of excuses why he's not there. All kind of excuses why I haven't called you in a whole year. It's no excuse. It's no excuse, brother, man. So let me read my Bible verse right now. Daddy, where are you? Where are you, Daddy? I need your love, Daddy. Mama can't give me the love that you can give me, only you can give me, Daddy. I need your love. You're my father. Where are you? When are you going to come? Why you keep lying to me? Every time I talk to you, you make up something and say you're coming and you never show up. You never show up. Oh, I'm busy working. Oh, I'm busy doing this. Oh, I'm busy doing that. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. You ain't got to do nothing, bro. You ain't got to do nothing but be a father to your children. That's what you got to do. That's what you need to do. Be a father to your children. I got a grandson. that my son haven't seen his own son since in about, oh my God, it's been a long time now, man. It's been ever since he was like a little baby, he haven't seen his son. Ever since he's been a baby. And he's about 16 now. And I asked him, I said, you know, have you ever tried to reach out to see where your son is? But, you know, he just come up with something like, oh, no, I don't know where he is. Well, you're not looking, bro. You're not looking. You're not trying to find out where he is and what he's doing. Because you're so busy with your life. You're so busy with what you're doing. You're so busy and caught up into your own self. And your children is not important to you. What the mama going to teach the child? What the mama going to teach the little girl? Let's deal with the little girl. What is the mama going to teach the little girl? Let me read. Let me read. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 14. But the spirit of Ahiah departed from Saul. Talking about King Saul, the king of Jerusalem, the first king of Jerusalem. Give me one moment. First Samuel 16, verse 14. But the spirit of Ahiah departed from Saul, King Saul, the first king of Jerusalem. Why? Because he was an evil person. He was a wicked man. And the God of Israel can't live inside and won't reside with a wicked man or a wicked woman. So the spirit of Ahiah left King Saul. Didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And that's why you got a lot of these men that's killing their kids, that's killing their, you know, their children and the baby mamas because they got an evil spirit on them. And the evil spirit from Ahiah troubled him. It troubled him. Where did the evil spirit come from? It came from the God of Israel. And it troubled King Saul. It made him feel misery. It made him feel bad. It troubled him. Irritated him. And that's why you got a lot of these people, these men, killing their children. Because they got an evil spirit. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubled thee, Saul. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand and die. Shall be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man well and bring him to me. Then to one of his servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the man, and a mighty man and a man of war.
and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and Ahiah is with him.
So you know what his servants told him, King Saul, sir? He said, you know what? I know I got the perfect person, the perfect young shepherd boy, David, that's going to come and play the harp for you. And when he played, he's so good at playing it that the evil spirit going to leave you, Saul. And you know, he's a prudent man. He's a good man. And he's a man of war. And Ahiah is with David. So I'm going to bring him to you, Saul, so he can play for you and he can help with you. And the evil spirit going to leave because of the music that he played. So they went to Jesse's house, David's father. And Jesse had 8 sons. David, he was the son that kept and watched over the time he was with the sheep. That's all he ever did, watched over the sheep. While the other sons go lay, you know, play with the women and got girlfriends and go to the movies, whatever they wanted to do. But David, he was always with the sheep. So for me looking at this passage in the Bible, I can tell that David was the kind of little boy that the daddy really didn't tell nothing about. They call it favoritism. He really didn't care nothing about David, because the Bible say when Saul went to anoint somebody to take the place, when Samuel went to anoint somebody to take the place of King Saul to be king of Jerusalem, he went to Jesse because Ahiah told him to go to Jesse's house because Jesse got 8 sons. So Jesse the father, he brought out all his sons, one after another. All 7 sons he brought out before Samuel. Samuel said, no, that's not the one that the God of Israel wants. No, that's not the one that the God of Israel wants. No, that's not the one. So he said, do you have another son? It's got to be one more that you have, because all these 7 that you brought out, the God of Israel don't want them. So he said, yeah, I have one more. He over there in the sheep pen, and he with the sheep, and, you know, he nasty, and he ruddy, and, you know, all he do is take care of the sheep. I don't think you want him. I'm going to try to give you these other sons of mine. They way better than him. So David was being mistreated by his father, Jesse. He was being mistreated. That goes on in the black household or the black neighborhood all the time. All the time. When you got 3 or 4 brothers and 2 sisters, and, you know, one of the children is being mistreated by the daddy. We're just going to use the daddy because that's who we're talking about tonight, dad. We're going to stay focused on the father. So Jesse didn't like him. That's why he stuck him with the sheep, and that's all he ever did. Look in the book of Psalms and read the book of Psalms, how David was always praying and asking the God of Israel to have mercy on him and help him, because he's going through a lot of things. He's being rejected by his daddy. And his brothers is being treated way better than him. So he said, no, Jesse, you got to have another son. These are not the right ones that the God of Israel. So, bro, what I'm saying, man, what I'm saying to that very child that you mistreated, I'm speaking for the young people now, that very child that you mistreated, that very child that you overlooking, that very child that you want to pick up the phone and call your child to check on them, that very child that you neglecting and overlooking is the one that the God of Israel loves and won't. So that's why I say you're going to pay for what you are doing. because there's something special about little Tommy. You ain't called him in 6 months. There's something special about Riri, and you ain't talked to her in 5 years. There's something special about Adriana, and you ain't talked to her in 10 years. There's something special about little Bob or Billy or Steve. You ain't talked to him in 2 years. So you better be careful, bro, what you are doing to your children. So David was a very special child. So the God of Israel wanted to pull him out from among his family and from among his daddy, because his daddy mistreated him. So Saul went there and he anointed him and he became king over Jerusalem. But I'm going to go back to what I'm reading in 1 Samuel 16. Verse 17. So he said, yes, when David is young shepherd boy, play his heart, the evil spirit's going to leave you and you're going to feel good. And all your sickness is going to leave. This is how special and anointed and favorable that David was in the eyes of the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the Creator. You better be careful how you treat that little girl and that little boy, bro. You better be careful. And this is just a warning. This is just a warning coming through this radio channel tonight for you men. Be careful. The God of Israel ain't going to keep up putting up with you neglecting your child, putting it off and throwing it off and, you know, making all kind of excuses why you can't go see your own child or get in touch with your child or talk to your child. You know, you got so many brothers. They know the child number, but they won't call them. Oh, for Christmas, yeah, they call them on Christmas. How you doing, baby? Daddy love you, they say. Yeah, daddy ain't been over there because daddy been so busy. But you know what? It's Christmas. So I'm going to come over there and I'm going to buy you a new pair of Jordans. I'm going to buy your Xbox. And you think because you buy that Xbox and that Jordans, bro, that the child going to be happy with that. And, you know, he going to forget about how bad you have treated them all year long. No. No. The child is destroyed because you have lied over and over and over and over again to your children or to that child. So that Xbox ain't going to do nothing. And them Jordans ain't going to do nothing. Because guess what? When you drop the Xbox off and the Jordans off, your child won't see you no more till next Christmas. You're a pitiful man. You are a pitiful, 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 pathetic man. I ain't going to even call you no man. I'm going to call you a little simple-ass little boy. That's what I'm going to call you. So back to my Talk for Kids radio channel. Yes, call in number 515-605-9790. Call and make your voice to be heard, parent, on this live broadcast tonight. So verse 17 of 1 Samuel 16. And Saul said unto his servant, provide a man that can play well and bring him to me. Bring him to me. So you mean David, the little bitty shepherd boy, he wasn't no more than maybe 13, 14 years old. Young. He said, bring him to me. So he got to leave his no good daddy. His daddy that always sticking him up in the sheep pen with all the sheeps. with no food, with no nothing, while the brothers eat good, riding around and, you know, doing what they going to want to do, and David just stuck up in there with the sheep all day. So he going to leave his father Jesse's house that have neglected him and mistreated him and misused him and abused him. I don't know where the mom at. I don't know where the mom at. No telling what she's doing. She probably somewhere, hey, I don't know, high or drunk or some wine or somewhere. I don't know. The Bible didn't say where the mama was. No telling where the mom at. You women got to make, you got it good to leave your children in a house with these men. And they end up killing a child. They end up molesting a child. They end up doing something wrong and harmful to the child. Y'all black women got that so bad. How you going to leave your little five-year-old baby in the hands of a man that you've only been dating 2 months? You got to be crazy to leave your five-year-old little baby or your one-year-old little boy or girl with a man that you only been dating 6 months. And you want to teach the kids that, oh, this is your new daddy. I don't know where your daddy is, but you got a new daddy now. And that man, he's a psychotic. He's a crazy narcissist, demonic, wicked and evil, just like Saul was. And he ended up killing your child. And he ended up taking your child's life. And now you want to cry, oh, yeah, I don't know what happened. Oh, yeah, it's so much of that going on. I hear the news all the time about how these baby mamas, drama, these women don't left their little girls and their little boys in the hand with the boyfriends or the husbands or whoever they is, and they end up hurting the child. So David was getting took out of abuse to be put right back into abuse. And that's why I say these foster homes, these group homes, these juvenile homes, these detention centers and jailhouses, they ain't doing nothing to help our children. They not doing nothing to help our children. They end up leaving a abusive household to be stuck up in a confided facility where they've been abused even more. Foster home, foster parents, they don't do nothing but rape kids. They get raped, they get molested, they get neglected, all kind of stuff go on up in the foster homes. In them juvenile homes and all them homes. So the system have failed our children. The daddies have failed their children. And so have you moms. Fail your children. And now the voice of the child is crying out in the atmosphere. The voice of the child is crying out in the atmosphere, saying, Mama, Daddy, the little girl that killed herself from suicide, and the little boy crying because her daddy molested her and raped her and killed her. Or her daddy neglected her and didn't do his job as a father and caused some kind of damage to come into her life. They are crying out right now. And I am their voice in the earth. I am the voice in the hour that's going to speak and stand up for the young people all over the earth. So David, he left one abusive home to go to another. Child neglect, they call it. He didn't have no food. Read Psalms. If you really read the book of Psalms, you'll see what David went through. He didn't have no food. He had to always pray to the God of Israel to help him, have mercy on him. And then they stuck him with King Saul with an evil demonic spirit in him. He didn't appreciate David. He misused him. He abused him. So look what the Bible say right here. And I'm getting ready to leave. Verse 18. Then asked one of the servants of Saul, and said, Behold, I see a son of Jesse, the best of mine, that is cunning in plan, and mighty valiant man, and a man of war, prudent in matters, and a kind person. David was a very, very handsome little boy. Very handsome. And Ahiah is with him, and the God of Israel was with him, because he didn't have no dad. And his mama was never around. But Ahiah, it made me think about when I was a little girl, how I didn't have no mom and I didn't have no daddy. I had to raise my own self. They was never around. They was drunks, both of them. Alcoholics, 24/7, every day, all day. So I had to raise myself. I had to feed myself. I had to raise myself. I had to do a lot of things for myself at 6 and 7 years old. So David didn't have no mama. He didn't have no daddy, worked nothing. So immediately when Saul's servant went over there to Jesse's house looking for little David, he immediately said, oh, yeah, you can have that. Yeah, go ahead. He bought him some wine and gave him a little bit of money. So he actually sold his son to a man that had an evil spirit in him. What do you think going to happen to little David? When he's been sold into a hand of a man that's evil and wicked and knows what you think gonna happen to your little children when they go to foster homes for child neglect. What you think going on with these kids, man? They've been raped, they've been abused, they've been misused. All because you don't want to be a daddy, and all because you didn't want to be a mama and take the responsibility as parents to take care of your own children. Just like my mom and daddy. They didn't want to take the responsibility as parents to take care of their own child. No, I didn't go to no foster home. And I didn't go to no home. But what happened, she stuck me up in sitters, child molesters, rape, all kind of people, okay, people. And my daddy, he came drunk on the weekend, called him to come to pick me up, to take me to grandma's house so he can drop me off there. He go drink some more. So David was in a bad situation. Verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. See, David was never in the house with the dad. Mm-mm. He was never sitting around the table with his brothers, his seven brothers, eating with them. He had to eat with the sheep in the sheep pen with all the shit and all kind of stuff up in there. He was never around the table eating with the rest of the family. He was neglected by his father, Jesse. Just like the children today is being rejected by their fathers. So Saul said, you know, send me David, your son. Verse 20 of 1 Samuel 17. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine. And a kid sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. How is he going to send Saul some wine and give him a kid, a goat, and some bread? For what? Yeah, you know what? Because he was happy.
that somebody came and got David out of his damn hair.
He was happy for that.
Oh, yeah, I finally get rid of David. I ain't got to see David no more. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm finna celebrate. Yeah. You send him some wine and some meat and some bread because I'm happy David gone. That's how you parents think when you send your kids to school every day. Oh, I'm happy the school bus here. They gone now. I ain't got to see little Lily and little Boo Boo and Kaya now. Oh, they gone. Billy and JoJo. Oh, yeah, the school bus is going to be gone for 8 hours. And you would not believe what your children is going through in them hell holes called schools. You thinking about your own self, bro. Thinking about your own self, ma. That's your pride. Just like Jesse, he was thinking about his own self. He wasn't worried about the sin of David. He was actually sending David to a madman house because he tried to kill David and all that. He got so jealous of David and bitter against David, he tried to kill David several times. He wanted to take his life somewhere his daddy sent him. And David came to Saul. And I'm getting ready, Lee, and stood before him. And he loved him greatly. Yeah, he loved him right then. And he became fair. And Saul said, he stand before me, for he have found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil was upon Saul that they heart and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Yes, he liked David until when David played, the evil spirit wasn't obeying the music no more. See, the evil spirit got so bad in Saul that David playing wasn't good enough for the evil spirit to leave. And that's when Saul became bitter and angry and resentment and all kind of grudge against David, and he wanted to kill David. And even Saul's son named Jonathan, he loved David. He was so close. They was knitted together, the Bible says. They loved each other like real brothers. And Saul got jealous of that. See, David had seven brothers, but he never had a brother to love him. Nene got five sisters, but she never had a sister to love her. John got three brothers, but John's brothers don't care nothing about him. So when Saul saw that the evil spirit could not be controlled anymore from David playing his little bitty harp, he became violent against David, and he wanted to kill David. And as you read the Bible, David had to run from his for his life from King Saul so many times. Now he had to hide in caves and all kind of stuff. It's just like your daddies and your mama. The kids be running around the house trying to get away from y'all because y'all want to beat them half to death and hurt them, throw them up in a closet or lock them in a room and they can't come out to Friday, and they don't get no food. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in households all over the world. But King, that little David, the little shepherd boy David, he survived it because the God of Israel was with him. And the God of Israel was with me. And that's why I survived everything that I went through in my life. When it comes to child neglect, molestation, rape, whatever, you name it, I've been through it. I survived it. Survived it. But you got so many little boys and so many little girls today that can't survive it. They're just ending their life, taking their life. They're going out robbing somebody or doing drugs, whatever they need to do to make themselves feel better.
They can't survive it like I survived. The God of Israel was with me. That's the only way I survived. Just like David. The God of Israel was with David. And that's why he survived. Saul could not end his life. And guess what? He ended up being king over Jerusalem, Israel, after Saul died. So, you have been listening to Talk for Kids Radio Channel. We will be back next week to finish this conversation. Daddy, why you keep lying to me? Why you won't come, Daddy? Talk to y'all people later. Get it right, parents. Because the God of Israel is watching you men. You men. And you women. Get it right. Because there's some serious stuff coming up on the earth. So you parents can see. So you parents can actually see all the hurt and all the pain that you have caused your children to have. Talk to you later.